Well, we are in the last Sunday for this year, the last weekend, and the Lord put on my heart to share with you today something that He spoke to me personally. That's from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. It's the holidays, the Christmas, the New Year, and all that, and I want to read here about Jesus when He was brought to the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." Amen. So this is the story we just find in this part of the Bible about this man called Simeon, that the Bible talks about him, a godly man that was there. And I was thinking about the few things that the Bible talks about him that are very encouraging for me, and I hope they will be encouraging for all of us. This man had such a great desire to see the Messiah, the promise of God for Israel and for the whole world, the salvation for all people. It was not easy for those people to wait. And that's the first thing I want to share with you. Like, I want to wait faithfully as this man was waiting there. It was not easy. He was seeing a lot of babies being brought to the temple. That was the custom. That was the law. They had to be brought to the temple, especially the first child. The first child had to be dedicated to the Lord. There were certain things they had to do for the mom, for the child, and so on. So this man, he must have seen a lot of babies coming there every day, and he didn't know how long he had to wait. But God promised, said, "Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah." So he had to wait. He was probably old by now, and this man was patiently waiting to see the Messiah, the promise. And I think that the temptation here is when we wait too long for something. I saw somebody like drawing a picture. As you know, I like to draw. I like to paint and stuff. So somebody is starting like drawing a picture, a horse. So it starts really neat, really nice, really realistic. The first part, as you go, it just draws like a line and the tail, and that's it. Like, you know, it's just whatever. I'm tired. When you try something and you aim for something, you know, high, like you want to know God really, and you wait so patiently, we all are tempted just to say, whatever, you know, just bring it on. I don't care. Just go to church and just let's do this and that, and that's it. This was not the type of person. Simeon was waiting for that baby, for that child. That was the promise. He was not looking for the cutest one. He was not looking for the loudest one. He was looking for the promise, what God had promised. We are tempted, brothers and sisters, to sometimes, like I remember Galatians, Paul is writing to them and says, Galatians, you know, you're foolish Galatians. You started in the Spirit. How are you finishing right now? Like, where are you right now? You want to finish by the law? You go back under the law? You want to go back under those rules and stuff? So what he speaks to me is like, I have to wait for the real thing, for the real promise. When I look in the Bible, I say, Lord, I want what you have promised for us. Me and my wife, we have a problem. We both are perfectionists. So if I have to do something, I used to do like slideshows and then like at the weddings, I do something for, you know, like a slideshow with pictures. And you probably won't believe, but sometimes I spend hours just picking a song. I just wanted the perfect song to express. I know the couple. I know who's getting married. And I said, well, this is it. This is for them. This is the right song. This is appropriate. This is going to go well with the pictures and everything else. Inside me, there is something that says, this is it. This is it. When you do something, when I do something, I know, like, man, this is the right taste for the food. This is, you know, this is how things supposed to look. This man, Simeon, he was there and he was waiting. He did not know how long, but he says, Lord, I'm going to be wait here. For me, in my life, that speaks about those moments where I have to wait. And in Lamentations, it says in chapter 3, verses 25 through 26, says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we just look around and we just tempted to like say, Lord, how long? How much more, Lord? How much more? And we are just, you know, it takes a lot. I wonder if that's why God said, when He described love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I wonder if we know what's the first quality or first description of love. Love is patient. Thank you, Jason. I heard you. Love is patient. Love is patient. This is probably one of the things that the Lord has to teach us. Patience. It takes a while for the baby to stay, 9 months before it is born. When the Lord created the universe and Adam and Eve messed up everything, it took years, hundreds, thousands of years until today. And we are today here. And if we were in that place, we probably would just fix immediately those things. I say, okay, let's just fix it and let's not do it. But God is testing us a lot if we trust Him, if we're going to wait on Him and trust that He knows what He's doing. That's not easy. Why we should circle Jericho 7 times? Why not just 1 time and just, you know, have a victory and stuff? Why, Lord? Why this? Lord is testing us if we trust Him, if we look for the real thing that He wants us to have. Some things take time, brothers and sisters, like maturity, like becoming more mature in Christ. I wish I'd be wiser. If there is a price, I would pay for it. Just say, Lord, just help me overcome this 1, 2, 3 things that I struggle in my life. Lord, I just want my speech to be better. Lord, I just want to be better in this area or that area. And God says, James 1:4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance has to finish its work. To become mature, we have to trust the Lord. Renewing our mind, it takes time. It's not like something happens immediately. We come to the Lord and we want a lot of things immediately. And thank God, when we encounter Him, when we meet God, He does that. There is that first
joy and peace when we meet the Lord for the first time. But when God describes, when He picks the analogy to describe the life that we live here, for example, the fruit of the Spirit is not a chemical reaction. You know, kaboom, and here we are, you know, full of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not Coca-Cola. It's not something, you know, like we just put there, we mix it, and here we go. We are just mature believers. We behave, you know, like we speak, we think like God. It takes time to become more and more. The fruit, it starts as a seed. It grows into a tree, then a flower, and then, you know, all that process until we see that apple or whatever it is. It takes time to do that. So let's learn to wait on the Lord for the real thing, for the true Messiah. But there are some things we don't have to wait. You know, not all things have to be like a long time. There are some things we have to wait, like I said, to be more mature, to be transformed into His image. But sometimes, this was one of the areas in my life where I used to struggle a lot. When I just do something stupid, and I just committed a sin, and I would just used to punish myself. You know, I just used to, you know, say, okay, I have to, like, you know, have to live in condemnation for a while. I thought I made God feel better for that, or I don't know, I'm paying somehow for that, I contribute to that. How foolish is that? I just, you know, came from a trip. What if I just jump off the plane and just try to push the plane a little bit, make it more, you know, fly faster on the runway? That's foolish. It's got enough power to, you know, take care of that. So one thing we don't have to wait, it's the forgiveness. God gives us that forgiveness immediately. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So whenever we do something, the Holy Spirit immediately reminds us we need to repent. In the past, God overlooked the time of ignorance, Acts 17:30. But now, He commands all people everywhere to repent. Repent now, and God will forgive you now. So whenever we have something on our conscience, brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait for, you know, let's just wait until tomorrow. Let's immediately, let's confess our sin. Lord, my conscience tells me it's wrong. I'm going to fix these things. Lord, please forgive me. I do that while I drive. Or if something that, you know, just happens immediately, we don't have to wait. That's one thing we don't have to wait for, to get it, to repent and to receive forgiveness from the Lord. Eternal life. God is offering that immediately to everybody who repents. John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in me, believes him who has sent me, has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. We don't have to wait, like, you know, until the last day of our life, and then I'll just come to the Lord and maybe He'll give me eternal life. He is giving that now to us. Eternal life means to know the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, that He sent. So that is something that God offers to us now, immediately. We don't have to wait for a long time. Then Jesus promised His presence. He's going to be with us. He talks to His disciples, Matthew 28:20. He says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God is with us now and any time we want to get closer to Him. I heard somebody said, a man of God, somebody asked him, "If you have just a few words to tell somebody who is struggling, what would you say?" And he said, "Just remember, God is always on your side when you want to get closer to Him. God is always with you." When Jesus was sending His disciples to go in the whole world and make disciples, He did not say, "Just go and have a good time and I'll be with you and I'll just, you know, just go have fun." That's not what He said. He sent them on a mission and He said, "I'm going to be with you to help you on that mission." So His presence is with us Every time we want to get closer to Him, every time we want to follow Him, God is with us and His presence is with us. So Simeon was waiting there faithfully for the Lord. And I pray that I will be in this year also waiting for the Lord to work in my life. And I'll be waiting for the real blessings that He has for my life. I don't want a counterfeit. I don't want something that looks like Jesus. I don't want to just have a good time in church and say, okay, it was a fun time. I want to encounter Jesus when I come to church. I want to see Him. I want my life to be transformed so much that even I would be shocked. I want Him. But for that, sometimes we have to wait. Or if there are things that we have to do immediately, we have to do them to set things right before the Lord. Another thing that happened here, this man was led by the Holy Spirit, and he had discernment. He recognized the baby Jesus. There was nobody walking before Jesus, and he said, here's the Messiah, pay attention, Jesus just came to the temple. This is the King of Israel. That's why I think Joseph and Mary were surprised, because how does this old man know? There's no internet. There's no CNN Live. There is nothing like that. How did he know? Because the angel spoke to them, said, you should name him Jesus. Both Joseph and Mary received that. And they kept those things in their heart. And they say, they were marveled, like, what's going to happen? How's it going to be? And here comes this old man and says, praise the Lord. This is the Messiah. He had discernment. Whenever the time was right, whenever he was led by the Spirit and he came there right at the right moment, when Mary and Joseph came there, Simeon came there too, and he saw the baby, and he did not ask for more proofs. Can you tell me more about him? He knew the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, and he knew this is the Messiah. So I want to have more discernment when it comes to distinguishing today what we are facing around us. Do you think we need discernment today? There is so much. Like, we hear about Jesus left and right, everywhere. Churches everywhere. And I'm not saying everybody is wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say. But when it comes to the price we need to pay to follow Jesus, not everybody is just going to, you know, pay that price. And this man of God, that was a godly man, he knew that this baby, and they were a poor family. They were not rich people that came there. We know because of the offering they offered, like the pigeons. That was for the poor. And when he saw Jesus, the Holy Spirit confirmed this is him. And he was okay and accepted that. Sometimes at our weddings, it's a tradition and where we come from. Well, it's not a tradition, but it's a joke some people do. Like, when the groom comes at the bride's house, somebody else, usually a friend, a guy from the groom's side, he dresses like a bride. And the groom has the eyes closed, and he comes there, you know, the first impression, the first sight, you know. And usually it's a good joke when the other guy turns around and tries to hug the groom and stuff, and everybody laughs and stuff like that. And everybody knows it's a joke, you know, and everybody has a good time. We didn't have that at our wedding anyways. But it's a joke. And I was thinking about that, like, when we're looking at what we have today, for example, when we read the Bible, do we really want to get the meaning that's behind those words? Or we just skip through them? We just read superficially? Do we really want to have the bride of Christ, the true bride of Christ? I have the desire in my heart. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what you're facing. We are all different ages, different situation in our lives. But when we come to church, if this is a true body of Christ, if Christ is the head, He knows exactly what we're struggling with. and I want to have that true experience. I say, Lord, I want to have the best I can have on this earth of that experience of being connected to you. Lord, I want to have what you had when people, nobody could just stop him. Nobody could just provoke him. He was so faithful, so full of love, that nobody could just change him and make him sin even once. And that power, he made it available to us. And I say, Lord, I want to have that in my life. Not a counterfeit, not something that looks like that. Not a fake Jesus. I want to have the real Jesus. I want to have that experience. Even if sometimes it's just a little baby. Simeon, he did not see not even one miracle that Jesus performed. Not even one. He said, Lord, I'll accept it. Thank you, Lord. And he, even if it's something small, I'm going to point that in the Bible. It says, Lord, you said, not me, Romans 6:14, sin shall not rule over you. Lord, I want that in my life. Are you willing to wait for that? Or we just embrace a counterfeit bride and say, whoa, let's have a wedding, let's have a party. Like some people, like the joke I told you about. No, we want to have the real experience. And God gave us this opportunity. Jesus came to save us from that, from the power of sin, from the guilt of sin. When we were in Moldova, just one child prayed. And these are hundreds, I'm not sure, maybe thousands of gifts they'd received. Like, we packed the whole house with these gifts. And we just go, and they were, these gifts were sorted by gender, boys and girls, and also age. Like, they would put, like, between, I don't know, 5 and 10, for example, for 10 and whatever. So people who prepared the gifts, they knew they're preparing for this kind of babies. So there was one boy. And among all these many gifts that were there, he received one box, one gift. And this was a son of a pastor in one of the villages. So he comes and he says, I was praying to receive a jump rope. And when I opened the gift, guess what he received? A jump rope. And among other things too. And this is in a village where mud is almost, you know, to your, you know, it's you know, they... And for them to receive a ball, like, or something, a toy, was something so meaningful. And he was so excited because he received what he was looking for. What are we looking for when we come before the Lord? What is it that we aiming for? What is it? This man was said, Lord, I want my eyes to see him. Even though I don't know everything and what's going to happen, Lord, I want to see the Messiah. And brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to boast about anything, but I have seen in my life the work of God. There are some areas in my life where I need a lot of change. I need a lot of change. But the grace of God, there are areas in my life where I look back and I don't remember when is the last time that I fell into something that I used to fall maybe weekly or monthly or something like that. And I see, Lord, thank you. Give me the grace, Lord. I want to overcome sin. Faith is needed for us to do that. So this man had the discernment. He recognized Jesus. Like, and the secret for that is because the Holy Spirit was upon him. Not like in the day of Pentecost. But some people in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, because the Holy Spirit was given to us after Jesus died and he rose and he ascended to heaven, then the Holy Spirit came and he is with us today. But before that, certain people with greatest desire to be pleasing to the Lord, they had a certain measure of the Holy Spirit in their life, like David. Or this man too. And that helped him to have that discernment. Like, we are, today we are surrounded and we say, man, it's so, so obvious. I mean, what a family should be, right? Like we are looking and I say, man, it's just a man and a woman. They get married and they have children. And some people say, no, that's not right. Discernment is lacking. People become blind when they don't love the truth. And then we cannot distinguish. Same thing with the church. When God is looking at church, for us, it's obvious when we look at the family, but with the spiritual eyes, when the Lord is looking at the church, He wants to see what He meant for the church to be a body of believers, a body connected together and where Christ is the head. May the Lord help us doing that. Also, I want to learn and I want to this year to be like this man, Simeon, when he saw Jesus. In verse 28, he says, he took him in his arms and praised God. He worshiped God. His reaction to that, when I see God's work in my life, when I see God's work in your life, I want my reaction to be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. It's all you, Lord. Worshiping is just a sign of acknowledging that it's all God who does. It's not us. That's why we worship. Simeon was, when he saw that moment, it was like he was so filled with the gratitude and joy and peace. He says, Father, thank you for giving your son. Thank you, Lord, for, and he wrote this song or prayer, and he's expressing his thankfulness for what the Lord has done. I want also to learn from him to be faithful. When Simeon saw Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, he did not just say nice things about that. If when you look at the baby, you don't say things, you know, like to hurt the parents or the baby. You want to say the good things. When he saw Jesus, when he talks to them, he was saying things that's going to happen to him, to Jesus, how he's going to suffer. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And the sword will pierce your own soul too. Who wants to share such a message? Lord, I just want to bring the candies and just want to, you know, just say happy birthday. And I just, when I was on this mission trip, I kind of felt like that. You know, people don't oppose you when you bring them gifts normally. But when you go to a doctor, what do you expect the doctor to tell you? How cute you are, how good you are, and everything is nice, and you know, and just go home. Nope. I said, doctor, what's wrong with my heart, my lungs, whatever it is? You want to hear that. This man, he was faithful, and he accepted. He accepted to say, the Holy Spirit led him to say that. And he said, this is what's going to happen to this child, and to you. And Mary was listening to that. And thank God for such people that love us so much. They're going to share. They're going to be faithful and say, brother, sister, I love you, but what I see in your life is not right. I pray for such people. Not in a harsh way, not in a rude way. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about the churches, and I think in our church we have that spirit where everybody's judging himself. Like we all, that's one thing I appreciate a lot. When we hear from during the prayer time or even sharing, I sense the honesty and the desire to be pleasing to the Lord. Unfortunately, I have seen also the opposite where everybody wants to change everybody. You know, Lord, change everybody and start with them, not with me. That's not good. We need people like Simeon. Says, Lord, if you want me to say that, I'll say that. Like Peter, like Paul, like to have that passion to be faithful to the Lord. Being faithful to the Lord doesn't mean just to tell all the miracles and everything that God did awesome in our lives. Hebrews 11,
is a chapter where it talks about a lot of these heroes of faith. But the Bible says also, verse 35, there were others.
Do you want to be those others?
Who were tortured. People who did not receive. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had promised.
God had planned something better for them. Do you want to be those others? Or we just want to be, Lord, put me in the front there. You know, if you have something awesome to do, I'm the guy. You can use me, Lord. If you want to do miracles, if you want to, Lord, what if the Lord wants to bless you with the child that has problems? In my family, I have one of my brothers that one of his child was born with disabilities. One of the pastors that we have visited in this Moldova on this trip, his daughter is 19 years old. They actually got married 2 months before we did. And his daughter, and I was thinking, Miriam is about the same age as that girl. And that girl is just, I'm not sure what the, it's not Down syndrome, but it's something similar that she suffers from. And she was there in the church. And I saw the humbleness of these parents and how they were being broken through that. Who wants to say, Lord, here I am, use me, Lord. If you want to give me, Lord, I trust you, Lord. Whatever you're going to give me, it's going to be for my good. And this man, Simeon, when he got the message, he was faithful in saying everything the Lord wanted him to say to Mary and about Jesus. In closing, I want to say the last thing. I want to be heavenly minded as this man was. After he saw Messiah, he says, Lord, verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Lord, I'm not attached to this world. You have promised, you have fulfilled the promise, Lord. I'm ready to go. Brothers and sisters, life is so short. It's like a grain of sand in this whole big universe. Eternity is so big, so huge. And God gave us this opportunity just to spend a few years here on earth. And I hope we are so heavenly minded and we want to be with the Lord so much that we say, Lord, it doesn't matter if I just live one more day or no. Lord, I just want to be useful for you. Lord, I want to be faithful in what you have given me to do. And this man, Simeon, was like that. He was heavenly minded. And he said, Lord, not because I'm old. Lord, not because I'm sick or because whatever, somebody's going to kill me. You decide, Lord. You dismiss me. Lord, you decide. And that brings a lot of peace to us. Not the sickness. Nobody can decide. The day of our departure is set by the Lord. Praise Him for that. We trust Him for that. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But I want to live my life in such a way that's going to honor the Lord. And if you're going to be, I don't know how old, 90 or 70 or, I don't know, 50 or whatever. If the Lord gave me this time, I want to use this time for Him, to reflect Him. Jesus came in this world not just for those Jews. He is the light of the world. He came here for the Gentiles. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus came here, and Simeon was one of the first ones to see Jesus as saving the world, that He came for us too. And I want to experience everything that Jesus came to bring to us, the forgiveness of sin, the power over sin, and I want to wait patiently for that. I want to say, Lord, please, Lord, in my family, in my life, I want to experience that, Lord. I want the true joy. I want, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that I can overcome this world. Lord, I want to have discernment, how to use my time. Lord, what is the true church? What is it that you mean in your word? I want to have that discernment. Lord, I want to worship you. I want my life to be a worship for you, Lord, to say thank you for everything you do. And I want to be faithful in everything that you want to use my life for. I'm not going to pick. I want to be this light. What if I wanted to be the carpet? Praise the Lord for the carpet. We need carpet too. We need the chairs. We need everything. If God wants to use, He gave you a gift. Thank Him for that. Say, Lord, I want to be the best carpet that can be. Lord, I want to be the best whatever you want to use me, the best pen, if you want me to be this for you, Lord, I want to be the best. I want to be faithful in whatever Lord called me to do. And also I want to be heavenly minded and every day just to have my heart filled with the desire and waiting for the second coming of Jesus. He can come anytime, and he will come for those people that are waiting every day for his return. May the Lord help us. Amen.